From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Major changes could be coming to Juneau's waterfront. The city's planning commission has approved Huntotum Corporation's application to build a culture and science center, retail space, and underground parking. KTOO's Katie Anastas has more.
Huntotum is calling the $150 million project Auk Landing. It includes a new cruise ship dock, a culture and science center, retail space, and underground parking. Last month, the Planning Commission approved the dock, but they stopped short of permitting the rest of the project, saying they wanted more information and public input. On Tuesday, the commission got that public input, and it was mostly in favor. Kerry Crocker leads the local International Longshore and Warehouse Union. Their workers moor and unmoor ships at the docks downtown.
These are good-paying jobs. They're living wage jobs, provide pension, benefits, health care. And the additional work opportunity with this project is considerable for us.
The approved proposal includes a culture and science center, built with help from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and Gold Belt. Carla Kasalukin, a Huntotum shareholder, said Auk Landing would go beyond preserving culture.
It lays the foundation for economic empowerment and sustainable development, not just for the city of Juneau and its residents, but also within our Indigenous community.
Those who spoke against the project, like downtown resident Steve Krall, were concerned about pollution and other negative impacts of tourism.
The basic problem facing us now as citizens is not that tourism is wrong or bad, but there's too much of it, and we've neglected to manage it in a reasonable way.
But Fred Parody, Huntotum's chief operating officer, said the project would help reduce congestion on South Franklin Street. It's on the other side of the waterfront from the rest of the cruise ship docks.
Shifting 125,000 people from one side of town to the other is significant in terms of pedestrian traffic flow.
Commissioner Eric Peterson said the location meant buses could avoid much of downtown on their way to the Mendenhall Glacier.
It lowers impacts to our community, especially with the buses not driving through town. And it basically provides a great way to unload a ship.
The commission voted to approve the conditional use permit application in a 7-1 vote. The Juneau Assembly still needs to approve a lease of the Tidelands before Huntotum can build a dock. The Planning Commission's decision on the dock has been appealed by Juneau resident Carla Hart. The Assembly will either accept or reject that appeal at its next meeting. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
Black cod could be a growing problem for salmon hatcheries across the state. As KFSK's Thomas Copeland reports, climate change is warming the Gulf of Alaska and bolstering black cod populations.
Salmon hatcheries aren't for the faint-hearted. Ryan Schumann runs this hatchery in Cake for the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or ENSRA. Once enough chum swim up Gunnock Creek, Schumann seals their fate.
We'll close that gate and hit the winch button and force them into the building.
Next comes what Schumann calls the shocker.
Okay, so you electrocute them to stun them?
Yes, so females and males respectively. You can see one right next to the other there, and how he's got those gnarly teeth and she's just kind of got this cute little round head.
Finally, a bash on the head with a mini metal baseball bat, and it's lights out. The females slide down one chute and out come their bright orange eggs. Returns that day were okay, but across the whole season, they are not. The reason? Not enough four-year-olds. And most chums spawn when they're four. The goal was to collect 20 million eggs this season. They've ended up with less than half of that. And Schumann thinks he knows why. When the four-year-olds were released from here as fry back in 2020, they immediately came face to face with a mortal enemy, juvenile black cod.
The water surface just started frothing and popping with these juvenile black cod that seemingly came out of nowhere and just frothed the surface eating these fish.
Those black cod, also called sable fish, were hungry over near Sitka too. Ben Adams is ENSRA's research manager. In 2020, he took a video during a dive underneath the rearing pens at Metavigi Hatchery on Baranoff Island.
We got in the water and it was just remarkably dark at first, was kind of the first thought that went into my head. So I'm starting to feel kind of disoriented and a little bit of vertigo. And finally, what I recognized that I was inside of this giant school of juvenile black cod where the fish were kind of swimming a big vortex around me.
So Adam's got a special permit to drag the pens 6 miles out and then release the chum. But was that enough to save the salmon from becoming black cod dinner? Well, now Adams isn't optimistic. You see, most chum returns to Medavigi come in later than in cake, but you can predict how many four-year-olds will return by looking at how many three-year-olds came back the year before. And last year, the return rate was tiny, just 0.04%.
0.04% is horrific. It was abysmal. I mean, 2022, it just tanked to the worst that we'd ever seen.
Those fall returns are a late season lifeline to fishermen, but this year the fisheries around Medavigi will have to be limited. So, why were there so many black cod in 2020? Dana Hanselman is the director of Auk Bay Laboratories, a federal program which studies commercial fish species. He says sablefish spawn in deep water, and then the larvae need help getting out of there.
And so it's incumbent upon the circulation patterns to be able to transport those larvae into the nursery areas that are in bays and, you know, coastal areas. In warmer years, there's often increased circulation that moves them faster to shore.
Hanselman says that as water temperatures in the Gulf of Alaska have risen this past decade, so too have black cod numbers.
So every year class since 2014 has been at least twice average. And then some of them, like 2019, look to be at least five times bigger than average.
So 2019 into 20, there were five times as many black cod as there have been on average.
Exactly.
Plus, these fish are not picky eaters.
Sablefish are a voracious and opportunistic predator. And by opportunistic, I mean they'll eat anything. They'll eat it quickly.
Now, hatchery manager Schumann and Adams predict that next year's returns will be much better. But if water temperatures continue to rise, black cod could pose an increasing threat to salmon hatcheries and the fishermen who rely on them. Back in Cake, though, Schumann says that for the salmon, it's just another peril in an unforgiving life cycle.
That's a cruel old way to go, but I suppose they're going to die anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're either going to be eaten by a bear or a seal or an eagle or...
Or gobbled up by more and more black cod. From Cake, I'm Thomas Copeland.
Southeast is expected to have its first big storm of the season over the weekend, with potential gale-force winds and 2 to 3 inches of rain. Caleb Cravens is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Juneau. He says it's a shift from the dry weather the region has seen for much of last month.
We're monitoring this strong storm that's going to be moving into the Gulf of Alaska, and it's going to be bringing a weather front through the panhandle, bringing moderate to heavy precip, as well as some windy conditions. So it's kind of a big change from what we've been seeing.
The National Weather Service expects the heaviest rainfall Saturday afternoon and evening, with rain letting up a bit in the southern and central panhandle by Sunday. Cravens says it's likely most areas will see more than 2 inches of rainfall, with some areas potentially over 3 inches within a 48-hour period.
That sounds like a lot of rain, but with everyone being so dry, the ground, you know, it's resilient. We are a rainforest. It's going to soak up a lot of that moisture, and it's going to be able to handle quite a bit of precip. So there isn't a huge concern at this moment for any impacts with the amount of rainfall that we're going to be seeing.
Cravens says the concentrated rainfall could cause rapid rises in small creeks and rivers, but waterways aren't expected to overrun their banks. In addition to the rainy weather, Cravens says to expect higher winds.
We can see winds 15 to 20 miles per hour sustained with higher gusts up to 30, 35 miles per hour at times, especially through Sumner Strait there. You definitely want to be mindful if you're out on the water. We'll probably see 25 to 30 knot winds out there as well, out of the southeast.
Cravens says the storm isn't a cause for major concern, but because it's been a while since Southeast has had a big fall squall, the Weather Service wants people to be aware of the incoming low-pressure system early.
Just trying to give people plenty of time. Say, heads up, this is our first big storm. Remember, heavy rain, windy conditions.
Cravens says the National Weather Service will be updating forecasts online at weather.gov/Juneau and on social media throughout the weekend. And as for the weather right now here in Juneau, it's currently 59 degrees and overcast. And part of that high wind warning, they are predicting that the rainy and windy conditions could increase risk of trees falling in and around to the Mendenhall River from the already unstable riverbanks. You're listening to KTOO News.